Thank you for tuning in to another dynamic broadcast from Somerville Miracle Revival Center, where Apostle Larry Brown is our pastor. We pray that this broadcast will be a blessing to you. Please stay tuned for important information at the end of this broadcast.
We're going to be in the book of John. Some people call it St. John. The first chapter. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. We're going to emphasize by the Holy Spirit, the Word. I know sometimes it's a struggle and difficulty for some of us to sit down and to read the Word. But the Word should be read on a daily basis. You should read God's Word on a daily basis. You want to be healed? Read the Word. Want to be delivered? Read the Word. You want to grow stronger? Read the Word. You want to be recreated or created on the inside? Read the Word. You want to grow stronger spiritually? It's the Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 1 for a moment. We got to go back. What is the beginning? This is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void, formless, and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. That's why I want to stop it. And God said, let there be light. See, the enemy know what is inside of us. He don't want us to know, to understand what is inside of us. He will find every distraction, every situation, every circumstance he can to block your path from getting to know God. He doesn't care. The beginning is when God spoke and God created heaven and earth. The beginning is, this is life. Life begins with God. In the beginning, it's the beginning of God starting life. Life comes from God. As long as we're in God, we have life. So God here beginning, quoting, saying. Now, he didn't say nothing about the Word in the book of Genesis. Nothing. The Bible said God said. God spoke. And it came to pass. So let there be light. God expresses himself through three ways. He commands, he calls, and he creates. God command, God call, and God create. Look what he says. And God said, let there be light. That's a command. And the Bible says he called the light day. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Fifth verse. And God called the light day. He commanded, let there be light. He called. And he called the light day. Then he created. God took the sun and formed it within his hands. With his hands, he formed it. He created it. He gave the sun the law that he wanted it to have. He placed it where he wanted it to be placed. And he commanded, every day at this time you should rise and you should shine. He was in place. And God didn't have to tell him anything else. Once he gave him that command, once he called him, once he created the Son, it did exactly what the Father had commanded to do. Meaning that everything God created obeys him, except man. Everything God put in place, being obedient to God, except man. Because man has a free will to decide, to choose, to make a choice concerning serving God. So here, God command, God call, and God create. So there's no such thing as God is the author of life. God is the one that started life. God is the one that brought forth life. Life comes from God. No explosion. No, what they be saying, how everything exploded, came into being. No! Because we see the creation before us. And everything God created is alive. Everything God made had life, has life. The only thing changed with that was sin itself. Sin brought forth death. Sin brought forth death. But in the beginning, that was not God's choice. And God did not want it to be that way. God wanted everything to live. God gave everything life. And he wanted us to live in here through Jesus Christ. But he wanted us to live. In the beginning, God created. It never said that God just spoke. It never said anything about the Word. Nothing about the Word. Then John had a revelation from God. The revelation means that the Holy Spirit showed him what was in the mind of God. When you have a revelation from God, it means that he has showed you what is in the mind of God. And God began to show John that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. As you read this Bible here, you're reading about the Word of God. You're reading what God has spoken unto us, what God has said to us in his Word. And this Word is powerful because God used the same Word to create the heavens and the earth. God created what we see before us. He created the glory to God by the Word of God. That's how he created everything, by his Word. But then again, God knew we had a problem. We had a sin problem. And no one could solve that problem but God himself. So God asked Jesus. And Jesus Christ's words to him, if you prepare me a body, if you give me a body, I'll go down. And I will redeem man. And I will reconcile man back unto you. And you should know that I glory to God, man, which will be yours. God created us to serve him. God created us to enjoy eternal life. God created us to have that fellowship and to have a relationship with him. That's why God created us. God wants to have a relationship with him, an intimate, personal relationship with him. That's why God created us. And yet it said, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of what? He gave us the right to become children of God. Do you know what that means? He gave us the right to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. God desired for all of us to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. And that's what God wants us to have. He wants to walk with him. He wants to be in him. He wants his life to live in us. He wants his son to live in. He wants his spirit to live in us. So he gave us the right to become the children of God. Not because who we were born to or who our parents were or what our last names are. No, it came into being because God desired for us to be saved, for us to receive salvation, for us to glory to God, to serve him, and to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Somebody shout glory to God. 14 verse. And this is what he says. The Word became flesh. The Word became a human being. The Word became a human being. The Word became human. That's what it says. The Word became flesh. The Word that was spoken out of the mouth of God created the heavens and the earth. God used the Word, and the Word became a human being. His name was called Jesus. Jesus' name means salvation. In the Greek, it means salvation. He came to bring salvation. He came to save us. To save us means he came to bring salvation. He came to remove the sin problem, the guilt problem. He came to remove the self-hatred. He came to take all of that away. He came to establish a relationship with him. He came to remove all of that so we might be saved, saved from ourselves. Not end up destroying ourselves, but saved from ourselves. The word became, glory to God, a human being, a body. And made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory, the only one. The word glory, it means Shekinah. Y'all heard that word before, Shekinah glory? Shekinah glory means presence. It means the divine presence of God. When Jesus Christ received a human body, he had the glory of God. In other words, he had the very presence of God abiding on the inside of him. When the Bible said you go from glory to glory, all it simply means this right here, that you go from one presence to another presence. You go from one divine presence to another divine presence. And the only way you can do that, you have to do it through the Word. The Word will purify your heart. The Word will clean your heart. The Word will sanctify you, that you're able to go and to be in the presence of the Most High God. We've seen his glory. When Jesus Christ walked around the human body, inside of him was the presence and the glory of God. Inside of him was the divine presence of God. The one who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth, full of grace, and full of truth. We had God's favor, and we had the truth. You know what the truth is? The truth is this, simply this. God tell us, Jesus, through Jesus Christ, he tell us how we can have salvation. That's truth. Anytime you tell someone how to get saved, you're giving them the truth. That's what Jesus Christ, he came to tell mankind how to receive salvation, and that was the truth. The truth is simply telling people, this is what you got to do to be saved. And that word was so powerful, it was able to change the people's hearts, to change their conscience, that they understand that this is what you have to do in order to be saved. See, the enemy wants to tell the people, we're going to witness to somebody. We should be saying, we're telling people the truth. What does it take to be saved? What does it take to receive salvation? What does it take to live for God? What does it take to please God? What does it take to serve God? It takes the truth. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you. Go with me to St. John, the 17th chapter, the 3rd verse. What is eternal life? What now? This is eternal life, that you may know that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is getting an intimate relationship, personal relationship with God. That's eternal life. God wants to know him intimately, to have that personal, intimate relationship with him. That's what God wants to know. So eternal life is that when we spend time getting to know God, and we have, the Bible said we have the books. The first 5 books of the Bible is called the Pentateuch. It was written by Moses. He knew about the creation because God told him. God revealed it to him. Glory to God. Next, we have the prophets. The prophets prophesied about a Messiah that would come into the world. Listen, we got to stop taking salvation so lightly. We're no longer controlled by sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin. We no longer have to do what sin says. We are free to serve God. We're free to live a life that's pleasing to God. We're free to live a life that's acceptable unto God. We're free to do so. Glory to God. Now, salvation. So here, to know God, we have a right to get to know God. We have a right to spend time with God. We have a right to have a personal relationship with God. We have a right to get to know God. We have a right to be in His presence. We have been forgiven. Glory to God. We have to know who we are. We have to know what God has blessed us with. We have to know what God has given unto us. We have to know that the God we serve, glory, has set us free. The God that we serve has forgiven us for everything we've done. The God that we serve has called us His children. The God that we serve gives us a personal relationship with Him. The God that we serve is able to bring us out. The God that we serve is able to deliver us. The God that we serve is able to heal us. The God that we serve. The God that we serve. You want healing? Get in your word. Get on the word. Know that the word can. Know that the word will. Know that the word is able. I need to go to St. Matthew, the first chapter, the 18th verse. Even Jesus Christ's birth was miraculous. Even His birth was a miracle. I don't think we grasp the fact that He was the Word. We grasp the fact that He came here on earth to walk among us. Glory to God. He came here to set us free. He came to die in our place. He came that we might be able to give God the praise and glory. And in His birth, the Bible said God sent Jesus Christ when the time was right. When He knew that the time was right for Him to send Him, He came. And they say, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. You all heard of it. We heard of the incarnation before, right? But this is how the birth of Jesus came. The Bible says, God chose out a woman by the name of Mary. Pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with a child. No one could be Jesus Christ's earthly father because from Adam on down, all of us had a sinful nature. No one could be His father. But God found a way. He devised a plan so that Mary could have a baby without having intercourse with anyone else. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. The Holy Spirit came upon her. She was found to have a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph's husband was a righteous man, did not want to expose her. He wanted to put disgrace, but he was ready to put her aside because he thought she had done something that she should not have done. But then an angel spoke to Joseph. Listen here. This is what happened. This is what took place. And then Joseph listened to the angel. And then Mary was able to bring forth Jesus Christ, Him that knew no sin, but yet He became sin for us. And He was the Word. In Jesus Christ, you had the Lord. The Greek call Him A-D-O-N-A-I, Adonai. Adonai means God. God has all kind of names. Elohim. Jehovah Salam, all kind of names. But here He was called the Lord. In Jesus was God and the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He had the Word. He walked around here on earth. He had the Word. He was the Word. And he said, he often said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. With the life is eternal life. We have eternal life abiding on the inside of us. The light is the knowledge, knowing God, know who God is. And we do that by the word. That he done for everything he did on the cross. Lord have mercy. He done it for us. I say everything. Everything that he done on the cross, he did it for us. He didn't come with intent to live his life here on earth. He came to pay the penalty. He came to pay to die for sin. He came to pay the penalty for sin. That's what he came for. And he came after he did that, glory to God. But he knew that we cannot be reconciled back to God. He knew that we cannot have forgiveness unless he shed his blood on the cross. He knew that. So he had to go through the whole process. And we had to become, he became one with us that we might become one with him. And you still have the blessings of God because you are connected to Jesus Christ. You are in union with Jesus Christ. And because you are in union with Jesus Christ, you still, glory to God, you have the blessings upon your life. And the Bible, as it goes on to say, when he was crucified, glory to God, you know, when he was crucified, don't you know he conquered sin? When he was crucified, he conquered sin. And the Bible said he was crucified. We was in him. We was crucified also. And the Bible said, glory to God. When he died, he paid the penalty for sin. So the penalty, God's justice was satisfied. When he was crucified, we was crucified. When he died, we died. And the penalty was paid. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered death. Glory to God. And when he conquered death, we was able to conquer death also. And that is what he's given us. Now we are victorious. Now we just got to understand who we believe in. We got to understand to whom we trust. We got to understand who do we put our faith in. We got to understand who do we grow in, glory to God. Sin has no more authority over us. Death has no more authority over us. Glory to God. Listen here. All the price has been paid. We have a right to stand before God and be called the sons of God. We have the right, glory to God, to give God a praise and to give God glory and to give God honor. We have a right. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, that we have power to live a life that's acceptable to God. We have power to serve God. We have power to overcome, glory to God. We have power. We are victorious. Oh, glory to God. I think St. Matthew, the seventh chapter. It talks about when Jesus Christ was at the Feast of Tabernacles, they would worship there. They would come there once a year. And they would remember concerning how God had brought them out. They remember that when they left Israel and they left Egypt, they had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. And they live in tents and they live in huts and find a permanent place to live because they was wandering. God had them wandering all over the place. God fed them with manna from heaven, but yet they still had to wander from place. So they would create that. Once a year they had what you call a tabernacle feast. And they would come there and they will walk around the altar of God once. And then on the seventh day, they will walk around the altar 7 days, 7 times. And the Bible said that when they walked around the altar, they will be giving God praise and God glory and God honor and lifting up and exalt him and magnify him. And then the priests, and they got so excited because the priests would take water from the well called Siloam. And they would take that water to the altar and they begin to take the water and pour the water on the altar. And the people would get such a praise and such a glory. They would exalt the Lord and just my God, just glorify him for the water on the altar. And they would just get so excited about that. Because it's like to them that they went through things and they were thirsty for something. But yet God was going to give them some water to drink. And they was like so excited, glory to God, when the priest poured the water on the altar. And the Bible said, they asked Jesus, are you going to the Feast of the Tabernacle? Jesus said, I'm not going there. I'm not going there because if I go, they're going to recognize who I am. And I'm not going there. Glory to God. But finally, he went there and he seen the exuberance. He seen the excitement. He seen the things they were doing and how they were praising and glorifying God. And somebody sent out word and said, you can't give God a praise unless you come to Jerusalem, unless you are in Jerusalem, then you can give God a praise. But glory to God, the Bible said Jesus took that opportunity. He took that time and he stood up on his feet. He said, if any man thirsty, if anyone wants some thirst, anyone want to quench their thirst, anyone thirsty, let them come to me. I'm the one that can fulfill your thirst. Let them come to me if you're thirsty, glory to God. What he was saying to them, he said, listen here. He said, when I go and I leave this place, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to send him back to you, and glory, and you should never thirst again. You want to worry about thirsting ever again, because out of your belly should flow rivers of living water. I should give you water. And what he was telling them, when you got the Holy Ghost, you are more than a conqueror. When you got the Holy Ghost, you are more than an overcomer. When you got the Holy Ghost, you're not thirsting for things. You're not looking for things. You're not running all over the place. You know to whom you believe. You know to whom you trust. You know to whom you're serving. Hallelujah! I'm serving Jesus Christ. We're serving Jesus Christ. We sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And because he overcome, because he's victorious, we're victorious. Death cannot hold us. Sickness cannot destroy us. Disease cannot keep us. But we are what God said that we are. We are the children of the Most High God. Stop whipping. Stop crying. Stand up and accept who you are. You got victory.
We pray that this broadcast has been a blessing for you. We would like to invite you to one of our services. Sunday school begins at 9 o'clock a.m. immediately following an anointed worship service beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. Our address is 208 Simmons Avenue, Somerville, South Carolina, 29483. If you would like a copy of this message, please contact us at 843-879-3690. Again, we thank you for tuning in today. We pray that God will continue to richly bless you.